Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah, for Yahweh is righteous, Yahweh is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, I am Moray Naftali, here with you once again, bringing you nothing but the truth. It's a great privilege, it's a pleasure and a honor to stand before you all this evening to bring forth the true words of the Almighty Yah. And this is all we do here at the little sanctuary of Yahweh at 2330 Kemper Lane. We bring forth Yahweh's word, his word, and only his word. And who is this Yah? And you must know he is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all that in them is. So praise the mighty Yah. I bless Yahweh for blessing me with this great opportunity to serve him in this platform, to serve him in this great, honorable stage to bring forth his words. For Yahweh said that he even put his word above his own name. For Yahweh is all about his word. And Yahweh has blessed me. And so, those of you all that's joining me this evening, I pray that Yahweh bless you all as well, that you may receive his words, that you may hear his words, and be inspired by his words. Hallelujah. This evening, we're going to deal with magnifying Yah's law and making it honorable. And the reason why we're dealing with this is because this is our mission here at the House of Israel, 2330 Kemper Lane, and it should be the mission of all the houses of Israel. For Yahweh told us in the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, the 21st verse. And you might want to read just a couple verses before so you can see Yahweh is really talking about what he's going to do and what he is doing through his servants. And it says in the 18th verse, "Hear ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who was blind as he that's perfect, and blind as Yahweh's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but thou hearest not." And yes, Yahweh put a lot of things before our eyes, and he will put a lot of things in our ears. But Yahweh has not yet, just as our people came out of Egypt, our ancestors, he didn't give them the eyes to see, nor the ears to hear, nor the heart to perceive. And the reason why is because the people refused to be humble before the Almighty. They were too caught up in their complaints, their lust, and their foolishness. But look what it says in the 21st verse. At the end of the day, this is what Yahweh wants you to know. Although his servants are blind, and although his servants are deaf, and they not seeing nothing, they not hearing nothing, because they caught up in too many nothingness. They caught up in too much nothingness, vanity. But he said, listen to this. Yah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. And yes, this is what his true servants are supposed to do. Magnify the law and make it honorable. Most of Yahweh's servants, the ones that are supposed to be serving the Almighty, oh, they're just blind and deaf. They don't see or hear nothing. And listen, we had a beautiful, awesome program last night. And this program was absolutely about one thing, and that was magnifying Yahweh's law and making it honorable. And beyond the subject matter, found not just A, but there were some profound statements made just by the presence of Yahweh's servants on last night's program. And these statements were very profound and loud, and hopefully everyone wasn't blind to it and deaf to it. But let me show you one profound statement. Beyond the subject, I'm just dealing with the presence of Yah's servants sitting at the table of brotherhood and discussing the word of the Almighty with no strife in the air, no contention, no blows thrown, no out of control spirits, brothers, passionately talking about Yahweh's word. And one thing you will notice in a profound statement, let's go to Zechariah first. In the book of Zechariah, the 7th chapter, starting at verse 8, the word of Yahweh came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. This is Yahweh's word. It says the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, and how it came to him, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, execute true judgment. Show mercy, Yahweh says, and compassion every man to his brother. Because Yahweh told us in the book of Proverbs that there are 7 abominations, and all your abominations are wrapped up into these 7. And out of the 7 abominations, Yahweh said, he hateth those, he hateth discord among brethren. This is why Abraham said, I must go to the left and you to the right, because at the end of the day, I'm not about to show up before the Almighty and have him judge me on how I looked as I lived before him in his sight. How dare I allow Yahweh to watch me strive and contend in a strifeful, hateful spirit against my brother, when the Almighty wants me, and Abraham is the first one to let you know, I know you, Yah. This is why I stand before you, Yah, humbly, pleading, and trying to stand in the gap between you and the righteous, Yah. I know you, Yah, that you would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So peradventure is 50 in this land. Will you spare it? Yahweh said, yes, I will. Peradventure 40. Peradventure 30. Peradventure 20. And he knew, please be not wrong for me to speak before you one last time. Peradventure 10. Because he knew he's not about to go beyond 40. And that's what you got. From 50 down to 10 is 40. And that's Yah's judgment. If it ain't at least 10, is over. And so, yes, he said, I know you, Yah. And he knows the true judgment of the Almighty, that he must show mercy and compassion to his brothers. Scriptures say, how beautiful is it for brothers to dwell together in unity. Unity don't mean that you agree on every single thing. Unity is when you have oneness in heart, mind, and spirit to love one another, because you're brothers, your sisters, your family. And Yahweh is our Father and our Maker. So at the least we can do, if we got mercy and compassion for one another, is sit down at the table and talk about our difference. See, in the scriptures, when it says in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, the 9th verse, it says, debate Wait, let's start at the 8th verse. It says, Proverbs 25:8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. When thy neighbor, then it says in the 9th verse, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. And see, this debate has nothing to do with contention. When you look up this debate, yes, you must bring your cause to your brother. You must talk with him yourself. And y'all have a conversation with one another. And you let him know your cause. But it has, this debate has nothing to do with contentions. This debate has nothing to do with strife. This is why wisdom is telling you to debate your cause with your neighbor himself. And don't discover a secret to yourself. Because if you got something brewing in your system that's going to cause you to hate your brother, you need to go and talk to him about it. But when you go to Isaiah 58, and this is the statement that you've seen. See, actions speak louder than words. And it's the action. It's the brothers that showed up right in front of the whole world. And you have to ask yourself, how many brothers, how many sisters is willing to stand on a stage and deal with controversy in such a manner? I'm going to show you in the scriptures the answer to that question. Isaiah 58, it says in the 3rd verse, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure. No, you don't even know how to fast and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, because when you debate, there's strife. And this is what you fast for. This is what you sanctify yourself to. Not sanctifying yourself unto the Almighty, as we all think or say that we are sanctified by Yah. We sanctify ourselves to Yah. How you sanctify yourself to Yah when you have contentions and strife with your brother? To sanctify yourself to Yah, you must separate yourself from strife and contentions. See, this, Yahweh said, you fast for strife and debate. So when you're striving in a strifeful spirit with your brother, this is what the Almighty frowns upon. And this is how you strive with your brother. Let me take you to the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. This is how you know your brother is striving with you. You say, man, what's the difference between a brother debating and a brother striving? Well, let me show you. In the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, in the 10th verse, it says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. So when you got contention, that's how you know you're dealing with scorning. And then it says, yeah, strife and reproach shall cease. Why do we got strife in our midst? Why do we got reproach? Why is a brother being reproached because of what he believes? And it might be something very terrible that he believes. But at the point that we put scorning out there, at the point that we put hate out there, at the point that we put discord out there, now we're doing something that Yahweh hates. Moriah Shia said, listen, now the crooked thing is being made straight. He was talking about not the subject, He was talking about the relationship between brothers. That's the crooked thing that has to be made straight. What mean ye to hate your brother, your sister, over a difference of a belief? That's like you hate your mom because she's a Christian. You hate your grandmother because she's a Christian. And now you hate your brother because he believed the Sabbath day started at night. You hate your brother because he don't believe in paying tithes. I don't believe the Sabbath started at night, personally. I can go to scriptures and prove it, but I'm not going to hate my brother because he don't believe the same as me. But what brings strife and contention in the midst is when we get to scorning one another over what we believe. And scorning is when you, scriptures say, he that utters slanders is a straight fool. Because the scripture says in the book of Psalms 50, verse 23, and you start making slanderous comments and derogatory statements when we should just be saying, listen, let's just pray for our brothers. Literally, we should do that. Especially if you feel like you got some hate in you, just go pray for your brother and your sister. And some of that hate might shed up off of you. But look what it says in the 19th verse of Psalms 50. It says, thou givest thy mouth to evil, because it's sure not good what you're saying. And thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. This is not what Yahweh want to sit. He don't want to hear that. He said that in the book of Malachi, the third chapter, he said he hearkened and heard the brothers and sisters that spoke often one to another about the name and the fear of the Almighty. And so he hearkened and listened. And so the book of remembrance was written for them that feared him. And yes, they fear him. And so they're not about to sit around slandering and having this contentious, strifeful conversation. This scornful conversation. It says, thou slanders thy own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before your eyes. I'm going to reprove you. Best to know it. Yahweh hates scorning. He hates slander. That's why he said he that utter for slander is a straight fool. And a fool in the scriptures is defined as one that not with his mouth but with his heart says that there is no Elohim. And you can't really believe that there's an Elohim if you sit around just doing evil. And so, yes, our brother, praise the mighty Yah, Moreh Yoel, he made the crooked thing straight. He did a crooked thing. But it ain't always the thing that you do. It's the thing that you do afterwards. And what he did was commendable. He did it in front of the world. He did it in front of Yah. He apologized. Not once, not twice, but three times. He apologized. It take a man to do that. It take a servant, a humble servant to do that. A lot of times you don't realize why a spirit might get up on you and why you might do a certain thing. But, man, once you do it, and then Yahweh will give you an opportunity to set it right, what are you going to do? Are you going to seek judgment and bring balance? Are you going to make it straight? So, yes, that was a profound statement of true mercy and compassion that Yahweh wants to see. Let's go back to that Zechariah, the 7th chapter. And, of course, mercy just means kindness. And when Moreh Yoel approached these doors at this sanctuary, which we've been meeting with him all week. He's been to the sanctuary, and we embraced him. We took him in as if we don't have no beef, because we don't. And we know that we already agree. We're here to make the crooked thing straight. He came, and we love one another. Truly, I have nothing but love for this Moray, this brother. I grew up under him. He's my teacher. This brother has inspired who I am today. There's a lot of his teachings I came up under. And so I don't enjoy the way things have been going here lately. But I praise Yahweh, what just happened last night. Hallelujah. And so listen, in the ninth verse of Zechariah, the seventh chapter, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Don't do this. It don't matter what's going on. Vengeance belongs unto Yah. Judgment is Yahweh's. He said, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. And yes, the crooked thing must be made straight, and there's more crooked things that has to be made straight. Because as leaders, now you can do what you want in your home, and that's one thing. And Yahweh's still listening to that, because he's looking at what you do in your home. He's looking at when you sit down in your house. He said, when you rise up, when you walk about away, when thou sittest down in your house, and when you layest down, he's looking at all of it. You're supposed to be having the laws on your mind, having righteousness on your mind, having inspiration on your mind, how to turn people to righteousness, not turn people and stir people up with contentions and discord. And so, crooked thing has to be made straight. And so a statement was made loud and clear with the leadership that brothers don't have to contend and be contentious. They can sit down like they did last night and discuss. And I seen that Moray Ishaya, the next statement that I want to show you all in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter. This was the next profound statement that I want you all to pay attention to. I believe, and I witness, this was an interview, not a debate. People thought it was a debate. No. When we put the message out there, we told you all that Moray Ishaya will be interviewed by Moray Yoel and Moray Issachar. That is the message that we put out. This was not a debate. And they were to bring any hard questions, the hardest questions, without us even knowing ahead of time, bring your hard questions to Moray Ishaya, since he's the one that seems to be on this hot seat and being scorned against because of his teachings. He said, so I want you all to come and question me with the hardest questions you got. I'm not questioning you all at all. See, a debate is when you question me and I get to question you. No, but this was an interview. And this is what I seen. In the book of Proverbs, and this is what we all should have seen. Proverbs, the 28th chapter, verse 1. The wicked flees when no man pursueth. You want to identify the wicked? Well, that's one sign of the wicked. But the righteous are bold as a lion. They bold. And what I seen was a sign of righteousness because it was very, very bold. It was very strong, admirable, that my father, the servant of the Almighty, Morey Eshaya, stood in front of the world and took the questions from these brothers and brotherhood, and he gave the answers that Yahweh has given him in front of the world. Now you ask yourself, how many leaders are willing to sit in that kind of seat, to allow two teachers, not one, but two teachers that's been studying for years, to come and ask you questions in front of the whole world and don't even give you a... See, I done seen teachers, and I've been teaching for 6 years myself. But I've grown up on the teachers. I've done seen Morey Eshaya debate. I done seen these processes. And I done seen a lot of teachers, they must know everything going in. They don't want to be taken by no surprises. We must know the subjects, the questions. We want to know everything well ahead of time so we can be prepared. But Yahweh, when he's prepared you, he's prepared you. And so if you want to know everything ahead of time, then you might see somewhere, he's like, then you run. And I done seen a lot of runners. I done seen them. But it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And see, our beautiful brother put that message out there about the debate. Only a lion hopped on that opportunity. And there's other brothers that done put out debates. And the same lion hopped on the opportunity. But for some reason, it still hasn't come to pass. But everything happens in Yahweh's time. And one thing about Yah, he said he's going to make the crooked thing straight. Like he said in Psalms 50, verse 23, he said, I'm going to reprove you for these things. And I'm going to set it right before your eyes. And so don't think that you can just sit around going against your brothers and sisters and Yahweh is going to do nothing about it. He's an Elohim of judgment. And it's a whole nother level when you come to the house of Israel, any house of Israel, and you in that platform, in that podium, and you use it for scorning. That's the next level. And so I praise Yahweh for the beautiful program last night, and also to show you in the book of Isaiah, the 41st chapter. It was inspiring to see strength in all these brothers stand before the world. And Morey Yoel and Morey Issachar asked some very good questions to Morey Eshaya. And I believe he gave some very good answers. Look what it says in Isaiah 41, verses 15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. And you got to read, let's read the verse before it. 14 verse. Fear not, thou worm Yaakov. Don't fear, ye men of Israel. I will help thee, says Yah. And when you walking with the Almighty, you truly are bold as a lion. You don't have no fear. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth, and thou shalt thresh the mountains, beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. What kind of weapon is this Yahweh is talking about? He said, the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in Yahweh, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. And Yahweh don't ever leave this out. And when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue felleth for thirst, I, Yahweh, will hear them. Because that's what he do. I, the Elohim of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. And then look what he says in the 21st verse. But do show cause, like the book of wisdom tell you. See, wisdom tell you the way of prudence, the ways of wisdom, the ways of life, the ways of goodness. Wisdom don't tell you no other way. That's why she said debate your cause with your brother. She won't tell you to strive with your brother. That's the last thing wisdom will tell you to do. Have contentions and strife with your brother and bring your cause to him. Let him know what's happening, what's good, and get at him. No. Debate your cause, and this is how you debate it, as Yahweh is telling us. Just produce your cause, says Yah, and bring forth your strong reasons on why you believe and why you teach what you teach, says the King of Yaakov. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. And when you're showing the truth, how can you show the truth without dealing with the past? How can you show the future without dealing with the past? Like, for instance, let me show you the past and how we can tell you the future. In the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, Moreh Elisha, the prophet, Moreh Elisha, he told us something very true. He said, your best, how did he put it? He said, history is your best source of knowledge. And you will never read that. It's so deep and profound how he words it. You would think it's in the scriptures, even though it is in the scriptures. But he said, history is not worded like that in the scriptures, though. He said, history is your best source of knowledge, and those that don't know it is destined to repeat it. And if you know anything about our history, our people, the children of Israel, these black, dark skin, kinky hair, nappy hair, thick hair, bushy hair, brothers and sisters walking the streets, the children of Israel, these people are known as the number one complainers. That is the, like, the main thing that defines a true, thoroughbred Israelite. He's a complainer. He complains in his heart. He complains with his mouth. He complains with his spirit. He complains with his actions. He's a complainer. He has something to complain. He always complaining about something. And when we came out of Egypt, that's all we did with Yahweh, is complain. And look at our people to this day. The angry black man or the angry black woman, every time you look at them out there, all they're doing is complaining. But look what it says in Exodus, the 12th chapter. This is history, which is going to give you good lenses, good eyesight to look into the future. Let's start at verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Both ye and the children of Israel. This is Pharaoh. He said, enough is enough. I've been plagued 10 times. It's time for y'all to go. And why by night? Well, you couldn't even at least wait till the morning? No. Then wait till the morning. He said, both ye and the children of Israel, go. Serve Yahweh, as ye have said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Oh, now you want a blessing. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took, because Yahweh said, let my people go. And they said, not for one more minute. Not for one more second is we going to keep the shackles on these people. Because the longer we do, the more of us going to die. The Egyptians were urging upon them that they might send them all out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. They took everything. I need that, this, that. They took it all. And the children of Israel's journey from Ramses to Sukkot for about 600,000 on foot. There were men, 600,000. That was just men. Besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now, in the 40th verse, and look at that, the 40th verse. And when you see this 40, it stands out now. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And see, this was not a prison sentence. This was not a punishment. But Yahweh has a judgment on everything. So Yahweh knew how long his people would be in Egypt. He knew the time that he would stir the Pharaoh up against us. And he knew the time that he would deliver us. Because he knows the beginning. He knows the ending from the beginning. And so, this is his judgment. 430 years we dwelt in Egypt. Now, is this 430 years plus a couple days, plus a couple weeks, plus a couple months? Now, if you have a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, it's still 430 years. It's not 431. Even though those couple days, couple weeks, and couple months are a part of that 431st year, but you still aren't, you don't have 431. But is it 430 years plus a couple days or so? Well, let's see. In the 41st verse, it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. And this is why the Pharaoh could not wait until that morning. Because that morning would have put you in the very first day of our 431st year. That next morning. But no, it says the very selfsame day, which means the next day hasn't came yet. All the hosts of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. So we left Egypt by night. And it says, excuse me. They left Egypt. And then the 42nd verse. It is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh. This is a night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. So the answer to the question is answered. And the scriptures tell you that the answer is from Yah. This was 430 complete years, not 430 years plus a day, plus a week or a month. This was 430 years till the self same day. Look what it says in the book of Genesis, the 7th chapter. And before, matter of fact, before you go to, no, we can go to Genesis, the 7th chapter, and then we go to Genesis 17. Look what it says in the 10th verse of Genesis 7. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. It was broken up on that day, the 17th day. So that morning, it started to go down, right? It started happening. And it says, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says, in the selfsame day. See, when it says the selfsame day, it's letting you know the very day, everything going down, and that selfsame day, which was the 17th, entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as Elohim commanded him, and Yahweh shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was left up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went up upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered 15 cubits. And so Noah didn't go in the ark the day before. Yahweh took him when it started raining and the windows of heaven were open, and then the fountains broken out. We got water shooting out the ground, water coming out the heavens. It's going down. And that's when he went in, the day before, when everything was cool and the sun was out. And you can't even tell that it's about to rain tomorrow. No. Yahweh said the selfsame day. Look what it says in the book of Genesis. And this is real beautiful here. You're gonna love this. Look what it says in Genesis. Let's get to the meat of the matter. The 10th verse. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of your seed. He that is born in your house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for everlasting covenant. And an uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And what happened after that? Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. Shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, that's right. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart. And see, this is why Isaac got the name Isaac, because his father and his mother laughed. But look what it says. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? See, Yahweh even got words in here written down that he heard from the man's heart. And so Yahweh don't, you see, a fool says in his heart there is no Elohim. You won't have to say it out your mouth. Yahweh listens to the heart. He know when you scorning your brother in your heart and you hate your brother in your heart, because he's listening to that heart. But look what it says. He laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And see, he immediately called her Sarah. And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. See, we just men, and Abraham was just a man. And Yahweh telling him these impossible things, and he just can't fathom it. He's doubting the Almighty because he's just a man. But to Yah, this man is the kind of man he's looking for, one that reverences and trembles at his word. But he's still just a man. And look what it says. I already got a son, my firstborn son. Can he live in your sight? And they got an exclamation point there because he loved his son. Why can't my son Ishmael live in your sight? But then he said, and Elohim said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, don't you want a son from the wife of your youth? You have to believe me, son, that this is going to happen. And look what he says. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. I see how you love him. I hear your heart. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. And if you want to know how true royalty looks, even though you don't even see it on the earth today, but if you want to get a glimpse of it, some kind of imagination and get your mind tweaking, look at the true Ishmaelites over there. The billion-dollar boys, that's the princes over there that's living in palaces, them are the Ishmaelites, living in them palaces, eating gold cakes and drinking champagne with gold flakes in it, because they got rivers of oil poured out to them, abundance of all precious stones and metals. Look what it says. And I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Now watch this. With Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him and went up from Abraham. Because that's where Yahweh go when he leave. He goes up. And so he left from talking. And look what happened. And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day as Elohim said unto him. He didn't wait till the next morning. He didn't wait a 24-hour period. He did it in the self-same day, the day that Yahweh spoke to him. He didn't let that next morning come. And it probably took him a while to get everything going, to get everything prepared, and to get all these males going. So he was probably still working in the night, bandaging people up, helping people, helping these men and these children out. But he did it in the self-same day. And that's how it looks. So when Yahweh say the self-same day, that's what it means. It don't mean another day extra, another morning extra, another minute extra, none of that. It was in that self-same day. So hallelujah. Now, since we know that we came out of Egypt, the self-same day of 430 years, so when you got to the last day of that 430th year, the morning that will bring in day one or the first day of that 431st year, Egypt was behind us at that point. When that morning came, Egypt was behind us. So we did 430 years complete. What it says, this is going to give you, and before I go to the future, let me show you something in the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Because now I'm about to take you to the future. In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and this is something, it's only one verse, and it's a verse that a lot of people do not know, especially our brothers and sisters. They don't know this, what I'm about to show you. It's one verse. It's a secret. It's a judgment of the Almighty that Yahweh said, my people don't know my judgments. The stork, the crane, the turtle, they know y'all's judgments, but Israel don't. Look what it says in Exodus 23, verse 20. Is that the right scripture? Let's see. Let's go up a few verses to get right to the meat of the matter. And we're only going to read this one verse. It's actually Exodus 23. And we'll read three verses. Exodus 23, verse 14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. In the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread and the feast of harvest. In the 16th verse. The first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year. The feast of ingathering is in the end of the year. Feast of ingathering is in the seventh month. That's all over the scriptures. We know that the feast of ingathering is in the seventh month. And so how is this talking about the end of the year? It says, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. See, this is the feast of ingathering. Because by the time you get to the seventh month, the year is at an end. It's time to get the last of the crops, and now you're about to go into wintertime. But the end of the year, it starts in the seventh month. That's where it ends, the seventh month. So do that mean when we get to the eighth month, a new year begins? No, we know that's not the truth. Because we know in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and this is all going to make sense to you. Just keep learning and go on this trip that I'm taking you on in the word of the Almighty. Look what it says in Exodus 12. See, the year ends. He said, well, I thought a year end in the 12th month. Let me make it very clear for you. Because the 12th month, this statement don't contradict the 12th month. It don't contradict the 11th, the 10th, the 9th, the 8th. Look what it says. Exodus 12 and 1. Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. this shall be the first month of the year to you. So the beginning of a year, it's only one beginning of a year, and that is this month, which is the scriptures call the month of Abib. And so, yes, the seventh month is the end of that year. So what is the eighth month? That's still the end of the year. What's the ninth month? It's still the end of the year. What's the tenth month? The end of the year. The 11th month is still the end of the year. So you got to go through 5 months. See, Yahweh never said that the end only lasts for 1 hour. He never said the end lasts for 1 day. And where now the very next day is a new year. No, what Yahweh is showing us is that the end of the year lasts for 5 whole months. And when you're in this 5 months, you basically, essentially, in a resting period. And all these months, in the winter time, the land is resting. Your animals, for the most part, they're resting. Everybody's getting a little more rest during these 5 months. Because the year end is when you get that rest. And when do the rest begin? Of course, when rest always begins in the seventh. That's when it begins. This is when the year release begins. This is when all the rest begins in the seventh. And so, yes, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth, the 11th, and the 12th are all the end of the year. And this is why in a full year, from the beginning to the end, you got a complete 12 months. You got your year where it's your summer and harvest time, and then you got the end of your year, which is still a part of a year because it's the end of a year, which lasts for 5 whole months, and then you can get back to the beginning of months, which is the beginning of your year. Hallelujah. So now that you have peace of knowledge and a little bit more understanding about your years, go with me to the book. But is 7 months a full, complete year? No. Yahweh don't count a year until another year begins. He don't count a full day until another day begins. This is why he said in the self-same day. And that self-same day included the night, because you had to go through that night to get to what? That next day. So look at Genesis, the 15th chapter. Look what it says. Start reading at verse 1. Let's start at verse 1 so we can magnify Yahweh's law. And to magnify Yahweh's law, his law, if you know the scriptures, is the truth. His law is his words. His law is from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Everything Yahweh speaks is the truth. Everything he speaks is the law. I know a lot of us have this misconception, misunderstanding that Yahweh's law is only recorded in Leviticus, Exodus, and Numbers. But no, the book of the law is Genesis through Deuteronomy. But all Yahweh's words is the law. The law is that Yahweh said he created the light on the first day, the heavens on the second, the earth on the third. These are laws, fundamental, foundational truths of Yah. And look what it says in this chapter, Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of Yah, this is his law, this is his order, this is his truth, came unto Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Yahweh Elohim, what wilt thou give me? If you are my reward, seeing I go childless,
And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And this is a valid question. He's 90 plus years old and still don't have his own son. No child. Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. I ain't even laying down with my wife no more. We done went past the age of being fruitful. And said, lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of Yah came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. Stars represent Yahweh's sons and daughters. And he believed in Yah, which is one of the keys of righteousness. And look, he said, and he counted it to him for righteousness. If you don't know and believe in Yah, it's impossible to be righteous. This is why most people are not righteous, because they really don't believe in the Almighty. No matter how much you tell them about feeding the poor, you get blessed. No matter how much you tell them about just working hard and showing Yah how you're just a good servant, you're going to be promoted. They don't believe in these things. But look what it says. He believed in Yah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am Yahweh that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Yahweh Elohim, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And this is where you want to pay attention. In the ninth verse, he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old. There ain't no sense of understanding 400 years. You must know how Yahweh talk and communicate. What is he saying? Why did he say 430 years in the self same day? We know what that means now. 430 plus one day never came. We was gone. But look what he says here. He said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Now, what do we know about these 3 years old? For those of us that understand what a year is, for the sake of argument, 3 years old is how many months? 12 times 3 is 36 months. So Abraham knew, if I go and bring a heifer that was 35 months, I am not fulfilling the word of Yah. I know you got to have at least 36 months to be 3 years old. So don't get that one, because he still got another month before he's 3 years old. But what if this heifer was 3 years old, complete, in 2 months? Get that one. Why? Because that heifer is 3 years old. We're not dealing with months. We are dealing with months, but the fact that this heifer is 3 years old in 2 months, I'm not now contradicting Yah's word, because this heifer is still 3 years old. Now, what if he brought Yahweh a heifer that is 48 months? Why on earth would you do that? Now you done went against the word of the Almighty, because we know 48 months is 4 years old. That's 4 years old, man. But what if he brought a heifer that was 47 months? Well, that heifer is still 3 years old. Until that heifer gets to 48, it's still 3. Because Yahweh didn't mention months. And he didn't mention 3 years old of the self-same day. Because then if he said that, then we know, man, this heifer has to be, must be exclusively 36 months. Not 36 months in one day, not 36 months in 2 days, not 37 months, 38. No, it must be 36 months to the day. And Yahweh not going to do that. That's next to impossible. Now, it ain't nothing impossible for Yah, but it's next to impossible for a man. All I know is that he's 36 months. He's 3 years old. Now, if you want me to go get one down to the very day, but that ain't what Yahweh said. He just said, get one to 3 years old. I want you to go give me some men child. But I want the men child at 7 years old. That's it. But y'all, he's 7 years old with an extra couple months. He's 7 years old. Bring him over here. What are you talking about months for? I said 7 years old. So now you see the difference? Yahweh said 3 years old. And when Yahweh said, bring me a lamb, in the book of Leviticus, the first chapter, we're going to go back to this Genesis 15, right after this. Leviticus 1 and verse 12, because the Passover tell us all in a nutshell right there. And we just dealt with the Passover. What it says in Exodus 12, verse 5. He said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Did he say the first year of the self-same day? That if Yahweh put that self-same day on it, you know that is 12 months and not even an extra day. Not even an extra minute, because as soon as you see the morning light come in, you done jacked up. Because Yahweh said the self-same day, and we ain't playing with Yah's word. So you better have it done by that night. And so the first, when he said a lamb of the first year, he cannot be less than 12 months. Well, he close enough, man. Get him. No, he's not even a full year. He's 11 months and 2 weeks. That's still not a year. Yahweh said, man, you better wait. For this baby, this baby must be a full 7 days before you put that knife on his flesh to circumcise him. This is why Yahweh said on the eighth day, the day after the seventh, now his week is complete. You didn't touch him. He's at least fulfilled a week. Now on the eighth day, you can cut and circumcise. Now, if you try to circumcise your son in the self-same day of the seventh day, would you say, well, the seventh day is over. Now I'm in the night, but that's still within the self-same day because the eighth day ain't came. And so this lamb of the first year, are you contradicting and going against Yahweh's word if that lamb is 14 months? No, you're not, because he's still of the first year. 15 months, 16 months. He's still of the first year. And once he gets to 24 months, he's of the second year now. Because he's been completed 2 years. That's why when Yahweh said on the third day, he said evening and morning is the second day. He didn't call the second until the third began. And so Yahweh is not going to call a lamb the second until the third begins. He's not going to call a first until the second begins. That's how he works. So when you get a full 12 months, and then the very first day of that second year, This is when he say, now you got a first year lamb, but you will have to be at the morning of the first day of the second year to have a full first year lamb. And all them days going forward, he's still at the first year until you get to the end of the second. The beginning of the third. Hallelujah. Go back to Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis, the 15th chapter. Look what it says. Reading further. Now let's take you to the future. In the 13th verse, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Did he say 400 years to that self-same day? Or did he say 400 years? Now, you know what a year is, right? A year is 12 months. But if he said, bring me a lamb of the first year, you know that it might be 13, 14, 15, 16 months. But what you do know of a certainty that it's not going to be 24. Because now you got a whole nother year added on. And so this prophecy is dealing with 400 years. And we've completed 400 years. Now we in the end of our captivity. And then what did Yahweh say further? He says 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. So now you're going to watch the judgment of Yah upon the nations. And if your eyes is not blind and your ears are not deaf, you not only can see these nations being judged, because Yahweh is bringing them down. He's not meeting them like a man, like he said. He said, I'm not going to meet them like a man. Yahweh got fires burning down these lands. This collapses the system. They're losing money. They're losing acres of land. It's a pandemic plaguing all the nations. And not just one pandemic of a COVID-19, you still got all the other plagues. 1,000 people a day dying from COVID-19, but you got more than that dying a day from other things. You got locusts eating up Africa. You got all kind of atrocities. You got volcanoes, earthquakes. Yahweh is tearing. He's judging all these nations right now. And then what he says, the nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards, meaning after he judged these nations. And how you know it's afterwards? When these nations is completely down. They not up even a little bit. See, right now, they faking. They trying. This is why they open up everything. Because they want you to believe and think a facade that there's a hope that the system is still going to keep going. And they giving out all kind of money. And why? Because they know Yahweh has caused this system to fail. And all businesses has not reopened. A lot of businesses has not reopened. They're still down. Look at the movie theaters and how many jobs it took. Still closed. And now they're trying to open everything back up. And what they're doing, they're giving out all kind of money, giving loans to people that 6 months ago you could have had a 750 and the bank still found a reason not to give you that loan. And now you probably got a 550, a 570 at least, and then got you a $20,000, $30,000 loan because they're giving out money trying to stimulate the common economy. But Yahweh said, listen, it don't matter what you do. And yes, Yahweh is making them give out this money, making them release these shackles of rent and Duke Energy and all these things. And yeah, they start, you got to pay bills now, but look what Yahweh is doing to these nations. It says he's going to judge them, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And so what is the day after 400 years? Are we posted? Is this saying 400 years in the self-same day we coming out? Because if in the self-same day of 400 years, that means we would have came out August 20th that night. We would have been on ships and planes leaving, and no Israelite would have been left in the United States by the next morning. None. Because Yahweh don't play with his word. If he says self same day, we would have been gone that night. So is this what the leader's saying? Because we never said that. We never said we're going to leave the night of August 20th, 2020. We never said we're going to leave the next day. But what is, so once you get to the next day, you got 400 complete years, it's over, it's ended. And what's the next day? Well, we're still at the end. Well, what's the next week? We're still at the end. And why? Because we're still at 400. I can't say 401 until 401 gets here. Which means the beginning of 402 must start. I must reach the 402nd morning to get a complete 401. So what are we at? We still at 400, people. A week, a month, 2 months, we still at the end. When you get to the seventh month of a year, the eighth month is still the end, the ninth month is still the end, until you get to the very end, which is really the beginning of the first month. End of the 12th month, beginning of the first. So the end lasts for 5 months when it comes to a year. Now, how long is this end going to last? Yahweh didn't tell us exactly, but this is what we know for certain. It ain't going to reach 401. Because then Yahweh's word would be contradicted. Then you can say, man, y'all some liars. Right now, because I'm a sports guy and I listen to sports. I like basketball. And Skip Bayless, one of the sports, what's the name of that position? He talk about sports. And I heard him say something about this year that was peculiar, because he was so happy that he opened NBA back up. And he's now able to go to the building and do his job instead of doing his job in his room at home. And now he's able to give commentation on live games instead of talking about old stuff. But then what happened? All these atrocities with the cops still brewing, and the NBA players quit on the NBA. And they had to shut it all down. Yes, he's a sports analyst. And they had to shut it all back down. And he was so upset about it. He said, man, this 2020 will not let up. This 2020 will not leave us alone. And then I even heard people saying, man, when we reach 2021, which 2021 to them is in January, when we reach 2021, man, I don't want to hear about 2020. Let's just let that year be a year in the dark. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to remember it, because this year is the end. We are in the end right now. When the scripture says the latter end, we in it right now. The end of your captivity, we in it right now. And if we get to August 20th of 2021, August 20th of 2021, And I'm going to be the false prophet tonight that some people want me to be, a false prophet. But if we get to August 20, 2021, I'm a false prophet. I proclaim it. Because I'm a witness for Yah and what he says. He said 400 years. And I'm a witness that this 400 years is ended. And we in the end right now. And tomorrow, Yahweh has given his servant signs. What's 20 times 20? 2020. Yahweh, this is all by the hand of Yah. You don't think that he knew 2020 was going to come? And he lined it up like that? 20 times 20 equals 400. These are little small signs. Yahweh done gave us signs that this is the end. And this is the of the judgment, not only our judgment, but this is the time of the judgment of these nations. And like I said, if you're not blind, you're seeing it right before your eyes. They can't get no rest. And the system is collapsing. So I think I'm out of time. And so with that said, I just want to praise the Almighty Yah for this great opportunity to stand in his sanctuary, to bring forth his truth, his words, his knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. I thank you all for indulging me. Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom, shalom.
Yeah. Live free. Come on. Fourth tribe. 100th century. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars because they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was asking. Not what prices on our backs. And the IRS wanted in on the back end. Lincoln was never down for emancipation. Just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the field, certified with his government seal. Probably tried to stand up with zeal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave us some fake moons and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me. I just hold a slavery. For 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free.
400 centuries of this horrid slavery. But Yah, he is the king. And he will save me. So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can't even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby. Fall, baby, dog. Don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way. Just spend my Yah all day. Rest in him, just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that he sit on the throne. Till then, I'm stuck in my zone. Staying focused on the day when he finally takes his home. Till then, I'm prophesying to the dry bones, to that day that I'm gone, and Yah reveal what he has shown, that Yahweh is Elohim, is him, and none alone.
Take a look at my soul, all I want to do is go, there's nothing left of me, of this horrid slavery, for 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free. it with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. Live of me, of this horrid slavery, 400 centuries, left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free.